James version of our Bible declares that it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be taxed, even one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Stay right there. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. I want to talk this Sunday morning about Bethlehem's baby. I know we just dedicated Bruce and Lauren's baby. But let's talk this Sunday morning about Bethlehem's baby. We are grateful to Dr. Luke for giving us meticulous historical chronology of the life and the legacy of Jesus, our Christ. This Dr. Luke, unlike any of the other gospel writers, who gives us more chronological detail about Jesus than any other of the gospel writers. He declares in the beginning of his gospel, inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which have been fulfilled among us, it seemed good to me also, having had a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, son of God, Theophilus, one who studies God, Theophilus, one who loves God. In other words, he writes to you and to me, to all of you, that you might know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed. Luke sets out to give us, Deacon Daniels, a chronology and a history of Jesus Christ. He's saying in us, you've heard some things. You have been told some things. Now let me give you the facts. I don't care what's coming out of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. I don't care what's been spawned on Fox News. But let me tell you what had happened. And this is what had happened. There was a baby boy born in Bethlehem, and this is his story. On our third day in Israel, 2 months ago, we were able to go to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem. The Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, it is now a basilica that has been built on the site where we believe that Mary gave birth to Jesus. It is at the Church of the Basilica that we were able to see not only this beautiful church that has built to the glory of God, but also to go and see the area upon which we now believe that Jesus was born. This is outside the Church of the Basilica of the Nativity in Bethlehem. It's a good-looking man right there. For Luke, it is imperative for Luke and Dr. Luke, it is imperative that Jesus be born in Bethlehem because it is the city of David, just as Micah told us in 5:2. Then he prophesied that the Messiah would come out of the city of Bethlehem, because the Messiah had to be tied to the lineage of David, that the Messiah, based upon
in the world did they get to Bethlehem? And so Luke explains how they got to Bethlehem. He tells us right here in the scripture that the Caesar, the emperor of Rome, by the name of Augustus, required at that time all people to go back to their homeland to be taxed and to be counted. And at this point in time, a person's homeland was tied to where they had property. Anybody want to say nothing? You had to have property. Just in colonial America, you could only vote back then if you had property before they put all these other rules on us. Just want to make sure it's working. That you had to have property, and so you had to go back to the town where you had property. And Joseph didn't own any property in Nazareth because he wasn't going to be staying in Nazareth long. His property was in Bethlehem, where his daddy had property, and his daddy left him property, and so he went back where his daddy left him property. And you don't have to leave your child property while you're dead. You can give them property. Don't leave. Come to the altar. Now, currently, Bethlehem is in the West Bank. Currently, Bethlehem is in Palestine. Currently, the city of Bethlehem is behind a wall. Currently, Bethlehem is in a place where many people are oppressed. It's so interesting, so ironic. The city where we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ now is being controlled by the Israelites, who are oppressing both Palestinian Christians and Palestinian Muslims. It does not matter if you are a Christian or if you are Muslim. If you live in the West Bank or if you live in the Gaza Strip, you have no citizenship. You have no country to call your own. The only thing you have is a driver's license, and that only gets you through the checkpoints. Just imagine, as I told you all a couple of weeks ago, if you want to go to Carowinds, if you want to go fly out of Douglas Airport in Charlotte, if you want to go to South Park to go shop, you can't go. If you are a Palestinian Christian or a Palestinian Muslim, if you do not have Israelite citizenship, you are really nobody in the eyes of the country. But even behind these walls, we celebrate the house of David, the house of Joseph, and the place where the baby boy was born. Bethlehem, again, currently is in Palestine. Currently, it is in the West Bank. And currently, it is in situated up on a hill. And it's very interesting that word Bethlehem in Arabic means house of meat. And when we pulled into the gas station, it's the first thing I saw. I said, hey, everywhere. It means house of meat. I didn't get a chance to go. But interesting, in Hebrew, it means house of bread. Feed me till I want no more. But interesting, in the back time in the Canaanite era, in the Canaanites, there was a god by the name of Lehem, Bethlehem, and Lehem was the god of fertility. Oh, God, help us to preach this morning. It is the god of fertility. So simply, Bethlehem does not just mean house of God. I mean meat, and this does not mean house of bread, but it also means the house of fertility, the house where a womb will give birth. And so it's in the town of Bethlehem that our Savior was born. And so Luke calls it also the house of David. It is called the house of David because, again, it was the place where David the shepherd boy was born. And it was imperative for Luke, because he's writing to the Gentiles, to tie Jesus back to David. And the only way to get him tied in David was to have him birthed in the same city where David was born. And Luke does not make it up. He reconnects them to make sure that the people know that there's a connection between David and Jesus. And it's so very, very interesting. So very, very interesting how this connection and these has set things up that Brooklyn was not my home church, like Nazareth was not his hometown, but somewhere the Lord brought me to Brooklyn. Because he's got to set you up. Somebody. I said, he's got to set you up. He's got to set you up. And all of us, you got set up. You didn't know what you were doing that first coaching job, but your first coaching job got you the job you got right now. Doug, you didn't know what you were doing when you gave that nice contribution to help his team get to Hawaii, but that set you up. And everybody here has been set up for God's purpose to be used in your life so that he might get the glory for it. You do right by God. God will do right by you. That's why when people needed Jesus' help, they didn't call Reverend Dr. Apostle. They didn't call him Reverend Doctor. They didn't call him Apostle. They ain't call him prophet and prophetess, and you don't even know what the peak 7 is going to be on at the 7 o'clock news. If you're a prophet, tell me what the peak 5 going to be so I know what to scratch off to get. He ain't have all these titles. That's why you can't never call me Reverend Doc. Just call me Pastor Chris. I can't stand all them stuff. It ain't what they call before your name. It's what they call after your name. It don't matter what people call you before your name. You can be Reverend Dr. Butthole. It's what they say after your name that matters. And they didn't say prophet, Messiah, son of God. They said Jesus. Now, son of David, have mercy on me. Because they knew there was a connection between Jesus and David. Not by the fact that he was just born in David's town, but that the fact that he was the Messiah, the one that the prophets had talked about. And so he is born. I feel my help coming on. In Bethlehem. And I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the fact that Jesus was born in the city of David. Feed me till I want no more. So he is born there in the city of Bethlehem. And again, it's very important that he's born there. And then Luke goes on to say that Bethlehem is the city of David. Historically, that's inaccurate because we know that Jerusalem is the city of David. Anybody been to Bible study? Anybody been to Sunday school once or twice? You know that it is David that conquered the Jebusites in Jerusalem and set up it as his city, that Jerusalem will be the capital of God's city, that Jerusalem will be the capital of God incarnate, that Jerusalem will be the center of godly activity. That's why no other country until this fool has ever considered Jerusalem to be the capital of Israel or the capital of anybody's country, because Jerusalem is God's city. It was formed as God's city. It was created to be God's city. And nobody can have monopoly and control of God's city. But Luke says that Bethlehem is also the city of David because David was born there, and the Messiah who comes out of David's loins is also born there. And that's why he says it is the city of David. The city of David. He purposefully elevates the town of Bethlehem to be equal to Jerusalem. Equal in importance. Equal in theological impetus. And what he wants us to know is that I know we concentrate so much on the fact that he died and that he was resurrected. But Luke says, don't forget that he was born. Luke says, I know you can't wait to get to Easter. So the preacher can say, early Sunday morning. I know you can't wait till we raise them up and spring them high so the preacher can get them up early Sunday morning in Jerusalem. But Luke is telling us today that before he died, remember that he lived. And what I saw that was very interesting in Israel, that even though his family was from Nazareth, and even though he was born in Bethlehem, they also called Capernaum the city of Jesus. When we went to Capernaum, there was a sign there that said, Capernaum, the town of Jesus. outside of Nazareth where he was raised to be the town of Jesus. But what they call Capernaum the town of Jesus is because it's where Jesus worked. They call Capernaum the town of Jesus is because that is where he did most of his miracles. Not where he stayed inside the church and thought he was a good churchgoer because he went to synagogue. They call Capernaum his town is because the town is where he worked. Say that one more again for the bench warmers. Capernaum is considered his town because that's where he worked. That's where he did his good deeds. That's where he performed his miracles. That's where he served the Lord. And maybe I need to ask somebody, where your town? Where do you do your work? Where do you act for Jesus? Where do you serve him in the beauty of his holiness? Where is your town where you actually live out your faith? Because you can't just live it out right here, because I know most of y'all ain't living it out right now the way you're frowning, the way you're looking at your watch. Where do you work? Where do you give your time and your tithes and your talent? Where come somebody say you've been there and done something good for the Lord Jesus Christ? So they call Capernaum his town because that's where he did his work. Well, while we were at the church, I'm about to give y'all a frame of understanding. And minds clear. While they're in Bethlehem, one of the beautiful things being there after you wait 2 hours in line, you got to go down to the cave where he was born. It's a magical and mystical place, seeing this area, this place where he was born. And those candles, they are illuminating this cave-like area. I might have told you a couple of Sundays ago about this cave-like area that you can actually walk into. There's a star on the ceiling of the cave. Now, Ben, it's been 2,000 years ago, and so this church has been built on top of the area where he was born. And you will see this star right above where he is born. And I thought to myself, looking at this star that's coming up in a moment, how in the world do they have a star or sunlight shining in a cave? There ain't no way to get sunlight inside of a cave from the top. There might be sunlight coming in from the entrance, but ain't no sunlight in a cave after you get on the inside. And you've got to go down about 10 flights of stairs underneath the basilica, underneath the church, in the basement of the church, to see the area where he was born. And you got to realize they've got this mirror up on the ceiling, and their fake lights there, light shining on the mirror to give the appearance of a star. It's light shining on the mirror to give semblance that there is light shining over Jesus, like that is truly the North Star. It looks like it's the North Star. It's shining like it's the North Star, but it ain't the North Star. It looks like it's the light that guided them to see Jesus, but it's just giving us an appearance of the fact that it is the light. In other words, it's fake. Like a whole lot of who claim one thing, but act another way. Only Christians, not even on Sunday, but just Sunday morning. Last week it rained. 5 people were here. I can't understand y'all Baptists who got wet when you signed up, but you don't want to get wet no more. Y'all better hope it don't rain on the day of the rapture, because a whole lot of y'all don't want to get your perm messed up, so you ain't going to get to heaven because it's raining. A whole lot of us don't have real love for Christ and his church. I can tell it when it rains, when you don't show up. I can tell it when you don't smile. I can tell it when you don't say nothing. I can tell it when all y'all who get here at 7:30 seats must be holy. Is there money underneath the end seat? You're going to hear the same sermon from the inside that you hear from the outside. And you ain't going to get out no early. One day I'm going to let people in the middle aisle just walk across the chair so they get out first. Hold y'all on the inside. But for many of us, our worship ain't real. We got to prompt y'all up. We got to remind y'all of how good God has been to you. We got to tell you to say amen. We got to tell you to smile. We got to tell you to clap your hands. Shame sometimes. You know how good God has been to you. You know the way you come from. You know how far God has brought you. You know the miracles that God has worked in your life. And then you want to come into his house and sit down on him. Shame on you. Some of us, we ain't real about it. We ain't keeping it 100 with God. There was this famous dog. This greyhound was a world-class runner. And this greyhound had run all his races. He was undefeated. And they took this greyhound to a race in Kentucky. And I don't know what it's called in horse racing. I know it's called the Triple Crown in horse racing, but I don't know what it's called in dog racing. But he was up for that same type of position with the Triple Crown like they do in horse racing. And this man brought his greyhound, who was undefeated, to Kentucky to run in the last race of the season. If you know anything about greyhounds, you know, and you know anything about racing, you know that the dogs chase a rabbit around the track. And after the referee blows the gun, that rabbit starts going around that track. And the greyhounds chase that rabbit around the track. And all of a sudden, all the dogs were in their gates, and the referee blew his gun. And all nine dogs but one began to run. That dog who was undefeated did not leave his gate. Another dog, Frank, ran the race and won the race. And after the race was done, they did the interviews with the owners. And they went to the owner of that prize greyhound who had run all the races. And now he was defeated, Bruce, because he lost that race because he did not run. They didn't understand why, after all these races, he didn't run in this race that would give him that Triple Crown. His owner couldn't understand it. And I know you don't believe it, but just use your imagination. The owner asked the dog, "Why, when the referee blew the gun, you didn't run? You run every other race we ever put you in. You are the undefeated greyhound of the United States of America. You've run every race and won every race you've ever been in. And this was the one that would give us the biggest prize money. But when the referee blew the gun, you did not run." And you know what that dog said? "I realized that rabbit wasn't real." Oh, but when you know that the baby that was born in Bethlehem is real. When you know that baby was born in a manger, on a dark night with a star shining above his head, when you know that three wise men came and brought gifts of frankincense, word, to see that baby, when you know that baby died for you, and he died up for you, and that he's still blessing you, when you know that baby was born in Bethlehem, made you whole, when you know that baby born in Bethlehem, gave you everything you got. If you know that baby born in Bethlehem, how can everlasting life, the hopes and fears of all the years, well above the king, where he was born in this star, right above the king. Give God praise for that being born in heaven. There might be one this Sunday morning. Someone to him right now.